You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Broadway, Broadway, in all of its glory, we all have a memory. We all have a story. Was there an understudy? Or did the show stop? Did you see Barbara before she shot to the top? Join us as we revel in a reverie. It's my Broadway memory.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I'm so honored that these two performers are celebrating Broadway and Pride with us.
I know, the last week of Pride.
I know. It's going so fast, and you know, there's a lot to unpack there. But I'm going to introduce the amazing L. Morgan Lee. L. Morgan Lee is quickly establishing herself as an actress to keep an eye on. Her performance in the Drama Desk and Drama Critics Circle Best Musical Award winner, A Strange Loop, garnered her a Lucille Lortel Award nomination for Outstanding Featured Actress in a Musical. The musical was also awarded the 2020 Pulitzer. She is so fabulous. She is a multi-hyphenate. She's in good company. I am in good company with her. That's what I meant to say. I am in good company with her. She's an incredible photographer, incredible performer, and I am so excited that she is joining us today. L. Morgan, hey!
And you're right. And she is in good company because our second guest is Jason Vesey, who was also in A Strange Loop at Playwrights Horizons, Pulitzer Prize winning. He was seen on Broadway and in the national tour of The Lion King. He's been seen at the Public, Theater Row, and many other places. So we'd like to welcome Jason to the show.
Woo! Hey. Hi, friends. How are you?
Great. How are you?
You know,
I feel like I wanted to come on like that as well.
Wait, let's all give a.
That's a screenshot.
That'll be the picture. I love it.
That'll be it. We screenshot once from the show, so that's it. Thank you.
I know, that'll be the cover photo. So, how are you guys? How are you doing today? How's life? What do you have to report? What's going on?
Where are you guys?
Yeah, where are you?
I am uptown in Manhattan.
And I am in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Nice.
We love Colorado. I've never been, but I've heard it's amazing.
It is pretty.
Yeah. Is Colorado Springs like Is it like wooded area?
No, Colorado Springs is It's the second biggest city in the country. It's actually a high. So the Denver is the Mile High City. We're actually higher. We're in the Valley of Pikes Peak, which is the highest mountain peak in the country. It is also one of the most conservative cities in the country. So like you have Denver.
It's a good time to be there.
The Blue Dot, and then the rest of the state, and then the shining star of the redness of the state. It's Colorado Springs.
Sounds thrilling. And then there's Boulder that's like super chill,
Boulder's,
right?
Boulder's a trick bag. She's tricky. She presents as blue and hippie, but
The tea. We're getting the Colorado tea.
Still that tea. Still that tea.
Don't let Boulder fool you. No.
And El Morgan, you're uptown, yes?
I'm uptown in the Heights. Same old.
Neighbors. We should do
Wait, a social you're business. Uptown? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm uptown. I'm off the A.
Okay, I am too.
Yeah, we'll do a
social distancing.
I would love that. My friends, before we even do the Playbill memes, I just have the memories of the first time that I saw you guys on stage. And I will never forget Jason was at Barrington Stage when I saw the out-of-town tryout of Bounty Hunter on a Jen Tepper trip. on that group trip. Yes. And El Morgan, I think, I saw you wailing at Joe's Pub, and it was, I just went, I think I threw my camera or something. Because I know...
Things she tries to do less and less. more book, less belt.
More book, less belt. Yeah, no, it's okay. Just more belt. The thing is that you two are just amazing, and I'm going to speak for Brian, but we're so honored that you are here.
Yes,
today. 100%. Morgan, we go back with Musical Theater Factory. Shakina will be on next week's episode to do some good news and talk about what used to be called the Uptown Collective, and for protesting for Black Lives Matter, and going to give us some information how we can get involved more, which is exciting. So do you want to share anything else, or do you want to get into the shtick, the gig?
I'm so excited. Morgan, it's been such a long time since we actually just talked about theater. Like it's been a while since we've gathered
We've never done that ever.
Never done that at all.
Never. Not till like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Do you two specifically have is there like a ritual that you did together backstage of Strange Loop? Is there something that you always looked forward that you guys did together?
No, not really. I mean, we touched base before we went on stage because we were right next to each other before going out. But just Jason and I have been in touch over this whole quarantine. Mm. So we've had some crazy like late night 7 a.m. here in New York chats.
right. And I would say no rituals, but definitely because Morgan was the last and I was the right before her. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened right before that, those lights went down, we always shared that. Something always happened right before those lights.
Oh, there was lots of
How did you guys meet?
It's amazing.
Do you guys remember me?
I had a feeling you were going to ask me that. I actually say this all the time. James and El Morgan are two of the people that I definitely, for sure, I remember meeting James, but El Morgan's been in my existence and sphere of being in the city and being in the trenches as it's for since being in the, like, I mean,
yeah,
it's, I just have always known New York with El Morgan.
To the extent that, like, you stop saying what year, because that might age you to people.
Yeah, I'm not going to disrespect El Morgan.
if I pick the right playbill, that will tell all.
Or if I make the right mention of what bar.
Right. When was that around?
Did you say Vlada?
I didn't say anything.
I've never heard of that one. Vlada?
I don't know her.
Michael, why don't you start us off and show them how the gig works?
Oh, yeah. So show how the game works. Okay. So I have like 9 of these.
The official, though.
And
I don't have the bootleg, like cheap, like they're expensive, the official.
They are. I don't have them all with the Playbill gold, you know, whatever, but okay. So basically what I do is I just kind of flip through it. I go like that and I just kind of hope for the best. I actually don't really think there's like a good mix in here of what. I don't want to do that one. Okay, I'll do this one. Oh. No, it was Gilligan's Island, the musical, national. Should I? No, I'm not doing that one because I don't really remember. I mean, it's signed by a bunch of people, but
you do like, you, whatever you want.
I've never.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, Barry Williams was in it from the Brady Bunch.
Oh,
playing
yes. Oh God, I don't know. I'll look at it. Hold on.
That was before all of our times.
Yeah, this was in 2000. This was in 2. See, it's like signed because it was like 2003, I think, and it played at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts. I guess this is my playbill. This one. this is my playbill. This one.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and it was with Barry Williams was Thurston Howell III.
Okay.
And Dawn.
I don't know Gilligan's Island.
I don't know it either, but there are songs like "The Ballad of Gilligan's Island," "Shipwrecked Little Buddy," "It's Good to Be Rich," "Hieroglyphics," "Natural Phenomenon."
This was Equity.
Barry
is Equity.
Ask Honey, and she's asking. It was partially Equity. Barry Williams.
Partially.
It was partially Barry Williams and Don Wells were both Equity. Everyone else, not so much.
Like literally, it was like a showcase contract. Traveling showcase contract.
It was like a national tour showcase contract.
So they gave him all the money.
That's rich. That's rich. That's good. All right. That's mine. I'm going to do okay. That's a good one. That's a good one.
It is a good one.
Who wants to go first?
Island.
Jason or Elle Morgan?
I'll go. I have a little stack here. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Which one am I going
to? Now, do you guys always keep your playbill from the first time you've seen shows?
Sometimes, but I realize there are shows that are favorites that I didn't keep the playbills for. This one, however. Dun, dun, dun. And when I was going, it's funny, when I went through my playbills, I realized I have 5 of these because I saw it 5 times.
Yes.
The way those.
Did either of you guys see it, Michael or Jason?
I wanted to so badly.
I saw it 4 times, but I also saw the Out of Town Tryout in Denver because the Out of Town Tryout was in Denver, which featured one of my best friends, Elena Waters.
Mm. And aren't you in it too? Didn't you sing in it?
Some vocal. But Elena, there were 3 pit singers. Yeah, there were 3 pit singers. Elena, and I forget who else. Elena, if you got that information, let me know.
Brooklyn. Yeah, I mean, the way those people were singing was like insane. At that point, I had never heard a Broadway show sound like that. And it was the kind of singing that like my mom, like I brought my mom into the city to see Gypsy the second time I saw it with Patti LuPone. And my mom fell asleep and said, and the response was like, nobody up there looks like me. And I was like, well, I mean, that's true. But this she stood up for, she was excited about. I mean, this CD used to be one of the regulars on repeat for me.
I always remember, I didn't see it myself, but I always remember people saying how much they enjoyed like the scenery and the costumes because it was all, can you talk a little bit about, do you remember that kind of stuff?
Well, they basically took garbage and turned them into costumes. So, I mean, like Brooklyn has a big dress during Once Upon a Time that looks like a gown, but it's just crafted by like scraps and like chips from things and cans and like, you know, cleaning utensils and things. So it was Brooklyn. Cheap show to make, I'm sure.
Let's see the headshots.
Ooh.
Why do you think it didn't last long?
Well, you got to think about probably what came out around the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it was right around the time that Wicked was
Wicked
there.
Wicked and Avenue Q.
There was, I mean, yeah. The names in the show, there were some decent, like Evan Anderson, what was the film he did? Sleeping with the Enemy.
Oh, yeah.
You had Eden Espinosa introduced to us all.
Introduced.
Sideways, Karen Olivo. Which is like, yeah, like Karen Olivo, Ramona Keller, who sounds and looks exactly the same as she did then, which is crazy. Julie Reiber. Oh, look at that. Lee Morgan. Haneva Wood, Shelley Thomas, Will Swenson. Oh my God, Will Swenson looks so like a baby in this picture.
Ooh, oh my God.
Oh, Morgan. That's...
Haneva. Romelda.
Benjamin, yeah.
Is right there. Oh, there she is on the corner.
I heard that there was a story because the understudy, something happened where the understudies weren't figured out. And one show, Eden was asked to go on for another role.
Oh, trivia.
I know.
I don't know this one.
I need to know the details of that. I was told about this. And I mean, I just, can you imagine being
like a split track or
why would she
no, literally go on for another role? Like, could you imagine being in this?
That sounds like, she's like, to me,
I need to figure that out because that is like, it's
vocal. Just,
and which role was it? Public Paradise?
I don't know.
I don't get that Ramona would call out, quite frankly. Like she sounded like literally the voice sounded exactly the same every single show. And all of her like ad-libs were crazy. And we heard her do something recently. She was in Hercules in the bar.
Yes.
Oh, and God. Sounding exactly the same. So it's like, I don't know what deal she signed with someone, but whatever she's taking, I want some.
What's playing in the back of the playbill? What else do you have in there?
Look at you. Oh, this is a good dissection. It's good. I'm awful.
Yeah. We love
it. Oh, wow.
On Golden Pond.
Oh.
On Golden Pond, you have Zootopia.
Oh, Shock-Headed Peter.
Oh, Shock-Headed Peter.
Did you see it?
I auditioned for Shock-Headed Peter. There was a song, Snip, Snip. The scissors go.
Oh, I did a production of The Mystery of Edwin Drood set in the style of Shock-Headed Peter.
It was dark and amazing.
Lot. But I'm obsessed with Shock-Headed Peter. I would have loved to see that. I didn't see it. Streetcar
with Natasha and John C. Reilly.
Oh wow.
R.I.P.
Do you see that? Wait.
Dame Edna.
Democracy. No. Dirty Rotten. No. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. No.
There.
Good Vibrations.
Hairspray.
I mean, these were like early starts of those runs. Yeah.
That's amazing. And Brooklyn was at the Sondheim, which was then the Henry Miller, right?
The Plymouth.
It was at Plymouth?
Which one is the Plymouth now?
That's the show. The
Schoenfeld?
The Schoenberg, that's where Taboo was at, right?
The Schoenfeld.
Yes, I think we did cover that at when we talked about Jekyll and Hyde when Jackie Burns pulled Jekyll.
And it's now Schoenfeld.
Right.
Yes, it is now the Schoenfeld. And that's where, that's where Jekyll and Hyde was. And which I have a fascination with Jekyll and Hyde and like Scarlet Pimpernel and like Frank Wildhorn shows.
That's kind of Day at the Beach.
Yeah. Morgan,
I love
Morgan,
it.
What's like a, who's a dream role for you? Who would you die to play?
Dot in Sunny in the Park with George.
I would pay so much money to see that.
it's a tie between that and Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast is like my childhood, just my childhood.
There's some lines within Beauty and the Beast that I feel like would just be really nuanced for me to get to say. Her conversations about being the town not seeing her clearly, and in her town she's the beast and no one understands her, and that's why she understands him. Like, there's so many layers.
Wow, I want to direct that production.
Lovely.
So
Dot and Belle.
I just got the chills.
Yeah.
I'm like, somebody hear this. Put me in.
I'm ready.
I've only got a few.
They're working on reviving that one.
Right? Like, since I saw Brooklyn, I've only got a few more years to get balanced. since I saw Brooklyn, clearly.
Well, clearly.
I was a wee tot. I was a tot.
That was your, yes.
A middle school trip.
Oh, yes, a middle school trip from out of town.
Five times.
Five times they went on that trip.
That's so funny.
The kids loved it.
Oh, that's very funny.
Jason, do you have any dream roles?
I do. Actually, I just answered this question yesterday, and I abandoned dream roles. And it's three. One is it's Cole House, but I only got a couple more years.
Mm.
Then the baker.
Mm.
Ooh, you'd be so good.
Yeah, and then it hasn't been made yet. But there is nobody who can be Dr. Facilier in The Princess and the Frog if they ever make a musical besides Jason.
No one.
I will say that right now. Nobody.
It's yours.
Tinder, Telsey, Ben.
Tinder, Telsey.
Dr. Facilier, Shadow Man.
That's beautiful. Literally perfect.
And that's some really timely good news as well with The Princess and the Frog becoming the new Splash Mountain at Disney World and Disneyland.
They're getting rid of...
I am so excited about that.
They're getting rid of...
I don't even know what it was themed after. Like, what was that?
Song of the South.
Song of the South.
Okay. Sounds right.
Yeah. Song of the South. And it's... I mean, Disney is ashamed of that. I mean, ashamed, right? It's still one of the most popular rides in Disney, but you can't find Song of the South anywhere. You cannot it is completely pulled. There is no record of it. It's you cannot find it. But I mean, it's still, you know, the biggest theme of Splash Mountain. So you know, how hidden is it actually?
But Princess and the Frog, now I can't wait to go back to Disney and do that one.
Great.
Yeah. I want to see that now, Jason.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see that.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Grab Adrian Warren or Aisha.
Oh,
my boss by has gotta be Aisha.
Wow.
Ooh, that would be amazing.
Naveen is the princess name?
The prince.
Yeah.
Find someone multi-culti and cute.
Someone new, maybe. Someone
multi-culti and cute.
Maybe Jordan from Hamilton and
Jordan Fisher. Jordan Fisher.
Oh yeah,
Jordan
cute.
Maybe.
Another what's his name? That was Island / West Side Story.
Isaac would be.
That would be very up his alley.
That'd be up my alley too.
I also think that Michelle Dowdy should be Charlotte.
Wait, Michelle who?
Michelle Dowdy. Charlotte.
That's fierce.
Imagine Michelle in like a blonde wig, just like pink.
Get Lilith back in.
Or
Jennifer.
I missed
the amount of money I would pay to see that.
Yeah, literally. I missed Michelle Dowdy as Madame Thénardier by a day because I went to go see Alison Gwynn in her last show.
Oh.
And I was planning to fully go out and go see it again because, I mean, I literally have a Les Mis tattoo, so.
Oh, was that just an excuse to show us skin?
I think it was.
Just all this skin, honey. No, but I love Les Mis, so.
Jason, you want to show us the playbill?
Yeah, so I have, it's a limited view because I'm at my parents' house. So I'm going to pick one randomly. We'll see.
He said no. No. Or yes?
Oh.
Lag time. Show bill.
Wait, is this original?
It's original. So here you have, I don't know who this is, but this is Bernard Dotson, who I've come to love and know. This is, oh my God, I'm so glad I got this one.
Oh,
this is the Ford Center at the time.
Wow.
I came here on a trip. One of my friends from high school and I, as a graduation present, our parents sent us to New York for like a week just to see shows. And so this is the original cast, and there's signatures.
Wow.
Marin Stokes.
Oh,
our queen. Boom. Even Tommy, Judy Kay.
Wow.
The original, Janine had just come in.
Where is the Ford Center? Or where was
it's now? It's now what is
the Lyric.
So what is it called now?
It's the Lyric.
The Lyric. Oh. It's changed.
Well, oh, it was it was the Foxwoods. It was the Hilton.
Hilton. It's changed like 6,000 names. Also, one of the, you know,
little
Leah Michelle.
Controversial.
Controversial, honey.
Of the moment.
Of the moment.
Of the moment.
Just, it's like, first of all, that it's all insane, but it's so crazy to think that, like, she literally, like, a like 3 years later, probably started, I think, at ACT, right? Like for Spring Awakening. Like,
no, really? I feel like a little bit later. I feel like she's got to be like 10 or 11. I think that next was the Fiddler situation.
Oh,
she's in that revival of Fiddler with Alfred Molina.
Oh, the 04 one.
She was one of the little daughters.
Oh. That was Alfred Molina and Randy Graff and and then it was Rosie
and apparently like all the wood on the floor was blessed by a rabbi and brought in from some place. It was crazy. But this was also the first time I had seen a Broadway show where after three numbers, this is one of the things besides the whole thing, there were three numbers where there was no applause. Wheels of a Dream, well, Your Daddy's Son, Wheels of a Dream, and Back to Before. There was no applause.
Open.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting, actually, to see that it's show bill. I think this is the first one, Michael, right? That's been a show bill that we've seen on the on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because so does anybody know the difference between I used to like really like look into it
too, and I don't know the difference.
So I think the difference between show bill and playbill is that show bill is specific to that, like the producers put in their own content. So if you were to like look into that playbill, it wouldn't look like every other playbill from that month at all the other Broadway theaters. So it would be specific to that show. So I know for like Harry Potter, they put in like a bunch of it's a show bill, and they put in a bunch of like extra reading material for Harry Potter. And it's that's why I think like the headshots are right by the bios. You wouldn't normally get that in the playbill.
That's true. Yeah. Oh my God, that's such a fun fact. Also, it's just pages and pages of headshots and bios because there's 6,000.
So many people.
So many people. That is a show that I would. What's a show for you friends that you would go back in time and want to see?
I'm going to say I'll go first and say a really simple one. I really love, like I've come to really love Drowsy Chaperone. Oh, and I feel like I would love to go back and see that.
I saw that.
That was the playbill that I picked. That wasn't Gilligan's Island. It was
all these links.
I know, right?
What is the show that I would want to go back and see?
Go for it.
I mean, there's a little bit of a, like, I'd be curious to see, like The Wiz or a Pearly moment. Was Pearly Broadway or was it?
Pearly?
Pearly was Broadway, right?
Broadway, yeah.
I think it was Broadway. Yeah.
I'd want to see Melba and Pearly in particular.
Didn't Julie Boyd direct Pearly?
I'm not sure.
That is not a fact that that would gag
you. You're in this trivia.
Yeah,
I think
you're
right. Did Julie Boyd direct Pearly? No. Did she?
Michael is googling that.
I'm That's looking. Crazy. If I know that she directed two shows, and I think one I have to look it up. I have to look it up. I could be wrong and just have like said something so weird, but but she did direct some. I'll figure it out. I'll let you guys know. I don't think she did because it's not coming up on anything immediately. But she directed something.
Should I pull?
While you look up? Was it with Melba? I don't know. But I'll figure that out. But she directed, and also that Tony performance is.
Oh, because real.
Because Pearly is I Got Love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And that Tony performance is just unbelievable.
But that whole score in general is just underrated. And it's such a great score. And it's so many mm-hmm. types of singing.
Mm-hmm. Philip Rose directed Pearly.
Because then Anika Noni and who else?
Maybe that encore.
And encores, yeah.
Lilius. I think not Dougie Fresh, but Dougie Doug mm-hmm. was in it too. Blair Underwood, yes. I think I don't want to see something, anything. I just want to see young, fresh and new Andre, whether it be The Wiz or Amos. I want to see him.
Jen Sandler.
A young kitten.
Julie.
Anything that has Andre DeShields in it.
Oh, yeah. I would. You know what? I would want to see Misbehavin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which incarnation?
Probably the seven. What was it? 78. The one.
That's the original.
The original
revival with the cast. Literally, mm-hmm. I want to say 3 or 4 years later.
Mm-hmm. I would want to see the original, probably. Yeah. Julie Boyd directed UB.
I didn't know that.
Not Pearly. I knew it was an E at the end.
Paula Kelly was in UB, right?
Yes.
The dance.
Paula Kelly's Sophisticated Ladies.
Sophisticated Ladies.
It was Ethel Beatty, Terry Burrell, Leslie Dockery, Lenny Godfrey, Gregory Hines, Maurice Hines, Mel Johnson Jr.
Oh, what am I talking about? I wanted to see crap. What is it? Jelly's Last Jam. That's what I wanted to see.
I don't know.
I was like,
Jelly's Last Jam.
Jelly is what Tanya Pinkins won for.
Yep. Yes. That was my first Broadway show.
Wow. That was your first Broadway show? Oh, wow. Mine actually, I've seen nine binders worth of Broadway shows since this date, but January 5th, 2005 was my first Broadway show. And it was Idina's second to last performance in Wicked.
Wait, I didn't know that was your first show.
Wait, that was your first show? Oh, I'm keeping my mouth so shut.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was 14. I was 14. But okay, I grew
mine
up with,
was 2001.
Well,
but and I'm younger than you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I grew up with National Tour, so I grew up with like Jen Waldman right. I saw Jen Waldman in the Titanic tour. Mm-hmm. I saw, you know what I mean. I saw Cats. I saw all these things. But for some reason, there was this chunk of time where I didn't go to New York, and it was kind of that time where I was discovering
elementary school theater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Brian, do you want to do your playbill?
Yeah, sure. I picked a different binder than I have so far.
Oh, good.
All right, you tell me when to stop. I picked my off-Broadway binder because I do separate them.
Skin tight.
This binder is so current.
I'm just going to go here.
Yeah, do it.
Ooh, okay. Which one was that?
That was the Roundabout Fiasco production of Into the Woods.
Was that the scaled down version?
Yeah, and actually, I think it's the only time I've ever liked Into the Woods. I'm not an Into the Woods fan. I like Act 1. Act 2, I mean.
What?
I'm sorry. I have a very unpopular opinion, I guess.
Please, elaborate.
But actually,
Shame!
There are good songs in Act 2, but Act 1 is
careful the things you say.
I like No One Is Alone. But anyways, this was, I remember getting ticket. They were like comping out a bunch of tickets for this show. This was April 1st, 2015. And I was like, I'm not going to pay to see this because I don't like Into the Woods. But I'll go on a comp. So I did. It looks like there were a bunch of Welcome to the Company, Justin Blanchard, and Matt Castle was out. And it was being played by Adam Marks.
Love that.
This was at the Laura Pels, down, you know, roundabouts, little off-Broadway stages. Let's see. Who... I do remember, like, I liked the set. It was all, like, piano strings, and it was very prop. It was very... What would you say? It was... Did you guys, anybody see it?
I saw pictures and I heard about it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I saw it by myself.
None of us saw it.
I saw it by myself. I do remember, though, at intermission, there were like a couple ladies sitting in front of me and they were like, oh, okay, it's time to go. It's over. You know, happy ending. And then... But Act Two has the amazing Agony Part Two. Okay,
he's like, he wasn't a fan.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to.
But for the record, no, I liked this one. I liked this one. I'm a fan of reimagining revivals like that kind of stuff.
Honest question for Tripping you: is it the themes that you just don't connect with?
It's the preachiness.
Okay.
It's like the
knows message.
Then there are some times where I love that. It's just in this case, I just think it's extravagant for no reason. I don't know. I'm sorry. No. Crucify me.
No. There's never. I would never. It's art, right? Art.
Right.
We're allowed to, things resonate with us and things, don't.
But I do remember telling these two ladies, I'm like, no, there's an act two. You have to stay.
They're like, we hate the young man behind us.
They were ready to leave. I know. And then after the show, I did hear them say, oh, we really should have left at intermission. They were like, it finished.
Damn.
I mean, that was like a paraphrase, but yeah.
This Into the Woods story.
I know. I would have died to see, the original production of that. That was... that's a DVD that I could watch over and over again.
A lot of people, that was their way to Broadway, was that VHS.
Yes, and the VHS.
I mean, maybe that's why so many people feel so connected to it.
Yeah, it wasn't that for me. I never saw that until I was in high school.
Joseph.
You know what I don't like about off-Broadway playbills? They don't put headshots in most of them.
A lot of them don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, why? What are you trying to say?
Going back to what we were saying before, that's how I sort of feel about Joseph. Joseph, I was introduced at a very early age. And same with Les Mis. I mean, I was Randy Graff is a friend, and I was telling her, I was like, I grew up with the White Album in the car, the cassette, since I was a little boy. Like, I know that show like the back of my head. And the same with Joseph, same with Bill Hutton as Joseph and Laurie Beachman as the narrator. And then watching the DVD, the VHS, with Donny Osmond, and Maria Friedman as the narrator. There's a reason why Joseph is my fourth favorite musical, because I watched that since I was, an infant, basically.
Joseph, Joseph for me can go somewhere.
Joseph, you don't like Joseph.
It's like an Into the Woods.
I don't have time.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Joseph and Titanic are the ones I'm kind of like.
Oh, Titanic.
Yeah. Oh, wow. as long as you keep Ooh. Like one or two of the songs in Titanic, though. Right. Sail On is beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Titanic is interesting, right? It's like Titanic is really interesting because I think that it was just hard because it came out around the same time as the movie. And I feel like people expected it to be the movie musical.
I also don't really like the movie either, though. That's the thing. I don't really care about the Titanic.
See, that's okay. Wow. So, I'm not, I would never ever in a million years judge you. I'm trying to think of a nicer word. The Titanic is, first of all, I was on the ship in a past life. So I'm like, I have like that, like deep connection with that.
Okay.
I have like that like really deep connection. But then the movie, I was Jack. I don't know who I was, but it's, that's for a whole, I'll tell you all about like all of the stories, but
I mean, it follows me wherever I, when I would watch the movie came out when I was 6 or 7 and I watched the movie and I was literally like, I was there. Like, I remember watching it. And so I remember when it was sinking, I was like, something feels weird about this. It doesn't feel like what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, in the 100-year anniversary, James Cameron came out with a new documentary with National Geographic being like, I got the sinking wrong. This is actually how it happened. And he redid the sinking. And when I watched it, I was like, you know what? That looks a little more familiar.
You're like, I was on top of the boat in this spot, not that.
Well, this is breaking news, Michael.
I know. The thing is, even if you look at Survivor stories and their accounts, some people are like, the ship didn't split in half, and other people are like, it did split in half because the way that it split in half isn't like the movie. The movie went like that, and then she splits. You know, not to quote the movie, but it went up. It started to kind of capsize a little bit, and based on the angle, some people saw it split and some people didn't. So that's why it's cool.
I mess with this. I don't fuck with big boats. Y'all, no cruise ships, no Poseidon Adventure, no Titanic.
No Disney cruise, no nothing.
No.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get all Titanic on you, but yeah, it's, I kind of, you know, I love it. But with the musical Titanic, the musical, it's certainly not my favorite thing in the world either. I don't know. There's something, I don't know if it's missing. I don't know if it's just that I don't know it well enough, but I don't know.
I do like the opening number.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Sense that it's kind of haunting because you know what's going to happen to all of them. But then after that, I'm like, great.
Sort of wish the whole show was like that in a way. Those orchestrations, that musicality, that, you know, it's so ghostly, that opening number. And then it kind of, I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe I should revisit it.
At this point in the live stream event, we played Broadway-themed memory games. While these games are tons of fun, they're best enjoyed in the video format of our episode. If you'd like to see the game portion of this episode, visit My Broadway Memory on YouTube or Facebook. Now back to My Broadway Memory.
Friends, do you want to share anything else before we wrap up? Because I don't want you to go, but do you want to share anything else? Any other memories? Anything else? Wait, Alan, our producer, just said, bring it back to Brooklyn. I have a surprise for you.
We love Brooklyn.
Oh, Eden is home.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Hi, Eden.
How adorable.
Hi,
Eden.
Yes. So I heard you guys were talking about a historical night during Brooklyn.
Oh, bring out the playbill again. Yes.
Wait, am I totally bullshitting? Am I going to get called out for like spreading lies?
No. Well, I don't know what exactly you said. I just know.
You went on for another role?
Well, no. Asked to.
Yes. Okay.
What? Yeah.
Let's set the record straight.
So, you know, we were only a 5-person show and we only had a few three understudies to be exact, who were also pit singers on the side, you know, singing along with us. And during tech, it was always a running joke that with Ramona and I, that I would always say, like, I want to be Paradise. And I would always like do her monologues and like, you know, come on. It's like sing her little songs and do her monologues and stuff. And Ramona was very sick, and then our understudy was very sick.
Is that Shelly then or Hanifa?
It was Hanifa then.
Hanifa.
Yeah. So Hanifa was out sick, and there was nobody to cover. So they called me, and they were like, Eden, we know that you would always wanted to, you know, go on for Paradise. Would you be willing to do that? And I said, no. I said no. And I was just like, no, that's not, you know, you could go on for Paradise and then we'll have your understudy go on for you. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And they're like, but it would be, you know, saving the show. And I just was like, I'm no. And partially because we had been telling them for a while, like, we need more coverage. So what ended up happening is Romelda Benjamin, who was with us for an out-of-town tryout in Denver, they called her. And they were like, will you come and hold the script?
That's what happened with that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they cut Paradise's songs like down so it was excerpt. So it would be like, you know, verse, chorus, out. Like it wasn't like so that she could, you know, she remembered the music. Like she was familiar because, you know, but it had been a while and she was reading everything from a script and reading the lyrics from a script. And it was a shit show. I mean, she was amazing considering what she had to do.
Would have loved to be there.
Did you have people in the audience?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I did a little speech ahead of time, like, this is live theater and you're all here for like a special day. And
did you have any friends in the audience though?
Oh no, I've met people now who are like, I was there that day. Yeah, and
it's also like it's not one of those shows that's just like the average live theater. Like you all were singing.
That's the thing. Michael, when you said that, I said no. Something. If I were Eden and someone had the audacity after I was belting A's to say, "Hey, you need other tracks?" Have you what?
No. This was.
And that track like sits at like F's and E's, like. That Ramona world. That
Paradise's track is no picnic either. Like,
she's like sitting up there.
The gods. Eden, I'm just dead that you're talking to us about Brooklyn right now because, like, I'm one obsessed, but like two, I watched this video so deeply that I knew if it was in Denver or Broadway based on your hair length. So like, you know, like we love. Oh, yeah. And yes. We love.
Yes, our costumes changed. My hair changed. So yeah, that's so crazy.
That's amazing.
Where are you calling us from? I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm here in New York. I got stuck here during pandemic, and I've been here ever since.
Amazing.
I'm staying at a friend's place down in the West Village while they're away.
Gorgeous.
And yeah. But thanks for letting me crash.
Oh my God.
Thanks for surprising us. Thanks.
Do you have like a specific Broadway memory that you want to share that's like just on the top of your head that's not Brooklyn? Or something that you, from falsettos, from Wicked?
I have millions from each and every one of them. Anything?
What we did was we pull a playbill.
We usually pick a playbill.
And then we talk about the memory of that night seeing the show.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think I just shared a very...
Yeah. I think we're going to have you back.
She's like, I don't have any playbills just here next to me.
And like, more than the playbills. So like, we're, you know.
Yeah. Eden, we'll have you on another episode.
I would love to. Thanks for letting me
Oh my gosh. Thanks for being here.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
So, one, cool. I'm dead.
That was crazy.
One, I'm dead, and I'm going to scream at Alan in a second, but in the best loving way. And I know Brian is dead as well. So, I just love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on.
You're amazing. Anything else you want to add? Where can we find you on social media? Anything you want to...
Anything you're doing in quarantine?
Anything you're doing during quarantine? Anything that anything you want us to know or think about?
Check out the Playbill concert this coming weekend. I'm in that. The spectacular, Pride Spectacular.
Great. Gorgeous.
Tomorrow I will be featured in Brick by Brick, part of the Pride Play Fest. And then on Saturday, I'll be joining Michelle Dowdy and Jordan Wolf on their live previewing a song from one of my dream roles. And
nice.
Then July 10th, Little Voice on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that. Have you seen any bits yet?
No.
Nice. Okay. No. Cool.
Team, you are amazing guests. And I can't wait for us to do this again. I can't wait to see you in person. And as always, thank you, and be well and be healthy, be safe, and we love you.
And thanks for all of our audience out there. Thank you for coming
so much. Thank you, Broadway Podcast Network. Alan,
thank you, Alan and Dory. Yes.
Bye, guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.